Hail Mike, correct? How are y'all doing this morning? What was that? I love it. Young lady, let me just tell you, you touched my heart today. I receive every word, and I thank God for you. All right? I didn't even call your name, so you don't got to feel embarrassed. Well, you just laughed and gave yourself away. What an awesome privilege it is to stand in the house of God and to speak with his people on today. As the choir makes their way in, I want you guys to know, somebody's thinking, why does Pastor Orr keep saying that same thing every week? Somebody came to me the other day and said, Pastor, I want to shake your hand. He said, it's my first time here, and you told me to shake your hand. I said, well, how did you get here? He said, I was perusing the internet, and I just typed in churches near me, and you guys popped up, and you said what you said, and I want you to know I listened to a little bit of your shorts and hear you preach a little bit. I said, I want to come out there and worship. And so it's working. I'm not crazy after all. Amen. Well, as the choir comes in, we are in this morning. We completed our series, Worshiping Together as One, and I thought it would be fitting, if you will, to come from the book of Ezekiel. Little known prophet Ezekiel, chapter number 16. And when you found it, I would ask that you would stand to your feet for the reading of God's holy word. Ezekiel chapter number 16, and really, family, I'm going to deal with the chapter 16 in its entirety, but for the sake of our subject and for brevity, I will read into your hearing Ezekiel 16, chapter 16, verses 4 through 6. Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 4 through 6. I'll be reading from the NASB. Here's how my Bible reads. As for your birth, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water for cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt or even wrapped in cloths. No eye looked with pity on you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field, for you were abhorred on the day you were born. Finally, verse 6. When I passed by you and saw you squirming in your blood, I said to you while you were in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you while you were in your blood, live. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. What an amazing time of fellowship we had on this past Wednesday. For here as a body of believers, we gathered and we said, we're going to have our prayer meeting, our corporate time of prayer, and we're going to make our way over to the fellowship hall, and we're going to have a feast, if you will. And I'm telling y'all, it was food everywhere. I saw all kinds of things. I usually don't eat that late, but I just couldn't help myself. I said, I'm only going to have a little bit, but I tasted somebody made some good turkey and dressing. I said, my. I found myself in the line getting seconds. And so we had a good time. And then I said, well, this is great. I can kill two birds with one stone. I said, if I eat enough, yeah, I'm going to get sleepy. But then I'll have an excuse when I don't hit on nothing when I teach later. I said, if the folk ain't following, at least I can say, well, y'all the ones fed me. You should blame yourself. But listen, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I was perusing the internet
on my YouTube channel, and I saw a certain blogger, I shall not call his name, lest he say your sermon was great because of my vlog. I want my money. So I watched his vlog, and what he was doing, he went to an inner city, and he went downtown, and he found a whole lot of homeless people. They were gathered just hanging out on a Thanksgiving day, and he said, would you mind if I talk to you for a minute? How are you doing today on this Thanksgiving? How long have you been on the streets? And some said 6 months, some said 3 months, some said 6 years, some said 3 years. And he just talked with the people for a while. And then he went on to say, what are you thankful for today? And I think about that, Thanksgiving under a bridge. And the people began to name, well, I'm thankful for my family, I'm thankful for my health. And they went through and everybody was naming. And this blogger cut up the blog till he had made his rounds. And people were thankful for all number of things. I'm thankful that for this country to be here and have rights and all this. But then he cut it and he went to everyone again. And eventually they said, I thank God for my life. Well, one man said, I thank God for my life. Young lady said, I thank God that I have life. And it is in that spirit of thanksgiving for life, that the Lord led me to this text. Let's see what we have here. It's an amazing thing. The devil is a lie. Sometimes these computers act crazy, so I bring a handy dandy backup. North Oaks, I am thankful for my life. And after hearing those homeless people, those who are even without a roof over their head, I came to the fact of realizing that every now and then we ought to get to the point where we are humbled and reminded of just how good God has been to us. Ezekiel the prophet, whom no other biblical writer refers to. Ezekiel, the prophet called by God to endure the vicissitudes of life with staunch conviction. Ezekiel, a man whose name meant God strengthens, would have certainly needed as much. Ezekiel, exiled to Babylon during King Nebuchadnezzar's second deportation in 597 BC, Ezekiel prophesied to the Jewish exiles from 593 B.C. to 571 B.C., he began about the age of 30. Through his prophecies, the Lord was able to speak to his people, though his prophecies were almost entirely rejected. In our text, Ezekiel unleashes a parable evoking the grace of God through his command for his people to live amidst certain death. But understand, instead of thanking God with faithfulness, Israel responded like a cheap prostitute. Say it ain't so. Through the prophet, God reminds Jerusalem that they are not blessed because of who they are. Rather, they are blessed because of who he is. Oh, my goodness. Look at the first two verses. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, make known to Jerusalem her abominations. Beloved, I believe that the Holy Spirit is reminding us today that despite all our shortcomings, despite all our unfaithfulness towards God, God has remained true to his word towards us. That's a good place to say amen. North Oaks, our text, it prompts us with five reasons that we ought to respond both corporately and individually. Lord, I thank you for my life. Five reasons why our text prompts us to respond appropriately. Lord, I thank you for my life. Can I share these with you and I'll be in my seat? The first thing that we see when we look at this passage is, The prophet makes known that we had no pedigree in our bloodline. We had no pedigree in our bloodline. And what this speaks to, Northos, this speaks to unheralded beginnings. Oh, it's right there in verse number 3. And said, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your origin and your birth are from the land of the Canaanite. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. God tells Israel, Israel, here's the truth. Your heritage traces back to rebels. I like the way Moses put it in Deuteronomy chapter number 7, verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are entering to take possession of it and clears away many nations before you, these are the ones who were in Jerusalem originally, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations more numerous and mightier than you. The prophet has Israel to know your heritage is from rebels, those who were hostile toward God. God says, North Oaks, here's the truth. Your flesh nature traces back to Adam. Oh, Paul let us know in Romans chapter number 5, verse 12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin. That would be you and me. But I like Hebrew chapter number 4, verse 12. I like the way the Hebrew writer puts it. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Pastor, why is that important? Well, I know that now we have some education. I know that we are now enlightened. And I know that we've read a lot of books, but I stop by to tell you that the Bible is the only book that's ever read you. It's an amazing thing. Somebody ought to tell God, God, I thank you for looking beyond my pedigree. Not only did we have no pedigree in our bloodline, speech to unheralded beginnings, but secondly, we were polluted in our own blood. I couldn't make it up. It's right there in verses 4 and 5. And what this speaks to, Northos, this might ring a bell in our America today. This speaks to an unwanted birth. We were polluted in our own blood, speaks of an unwanted birth. God tells Israel, here's the truth. You were rejected at birth. It's right there in verses 4 and 5. Don't take pastor's word for it. As for your birth, on the day that you were born, your navel cord was not cut. Who gonna deliver a baby and not cut the umbilical cord? Nor were you washed with water for cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt or even wrapped in cloths. No, I look with pity on you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. Rather, you were thrown out in the open field. This is in the elements where the beasts thrive. For you were abhorred on the day that you were born. According to noted theologian Dr. Thomas L. Constable, he writes, quote, it was the custom in the ancient Near East to wash a newborn child, rub it with salt for antiseptic reasons, and wrap it in cloths, changing these twice by the 40th day after the umbilical cord was cut. A common method of disposing of unwanted children in the ancient Near East, especially girls, was to abandon them to the elements. End quote. I know we think only barbaric people would do such a thing. I don't know about that. The Lord says, North Oaks, here's the truth. I have always had compassion on you. I've always had compassion for you. Isaiah let it ring out. Chapter 54, verse 10, for the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness, my chesed, will not be removed from you. And my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Family, somebody ought to be able to join in with the hymnist and sing out, pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Lord, I thank you for not passing me by. How many know that when I was a baby, squirming in my own blood, I couldn't call out and say, Lord, don't pass me by? It wasn't up to my cry that caused God to look at me and have compassion. That's the amazing thing about this sermon. We didn't even have to call out. The Bible says that God looked and saw us. I feel like preaching in here. We had no pedigree in our bloodline, inherited beginnings. We were polluted in our own blood, unwanted at birth. But then thirdly, are you interested? The Bible says that, but God predestined us to live. But God predestined us to live is right there in verses 6 through 14. And what this speaks of unwarranted blessing. Unwarranted blessing right there in verse 6. Listen to it. Close your eyes if you want to. This is God speaking to us. His people, when I passed by you and saw you squirming in your blood, I said to you while you were in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you while you were in your blood, live. Whenever you see repeated in the Hebrew language the same phrase twice, it's like putting an exclamation mark at the end of it. It adds emphasis to the thought. I made you numerous like plants of the field. Then you grew up, became tall, and reached the age of fine ornaments. Your breasts were formed and your hair had grown, yet you were naked and bare. Then I passed by you and saw you, and behold, you were at the time for love. So I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. I also swore to you and entered into a covenant with you so that you became mine, declares the Lord God. Then I bathed you with water, washed off your blood from you and anointed you with oil. I also clothed you with embroidered cloth. This is royalty, y'all. And put sandals of purpose skin on your feet. And I wrapped you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments. I put bracelets on your hands and a necklace around your neck. I also put a ring in your nose, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus, you were adorned with gold and silver. And your dress was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate fine flour, honey, and oil. So you were exceedingly beautiful and advanced to royalty. Then your fame went forth among the nations on account of your beauty, for it was perfect. How many know that we're God's masterpiece? Because of my splendor, which I bestowed on you, declares the Lord God. Yeah, it's get tough on me to read all those verses, but some verses you just can't skip. No, folks, the fact of the matter is, we were dead, but God. Oh, I like the way Paul put it. We in Ephesians and Bible study on Wednesday night. You know where to be on Wednesday night. You're missing out. Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 1 through 5, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Oh, it's an amazing thing. Notice that the first person, the first person point of view and the active voice in the verses I just read, verse 6 through 14, they depict a chain of events entirely accomplished by God. God washed us. God picked us up. God anointed us with oil. God fed us fine flour. God put silk and all manner of embroidered things on it. Dave, I like the way that language sounds. Sounds amazing. God did that. Harkens back to the golden chain of redemption. Romans number, chapter number 8, verse 29 and 30. For those whom he foreknew, he being God, he, God, also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Somebody pat your chest and say, that's me. That's us. That's what God has done for us. Did you notice the language of verse number 8? Look back at verse number 8. Then I passed by you and saw you, and behold, you were at the time for love. So I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. If you confer with Ruth, chapter number 3, verse 9, this harkens back to a Moabitess Ruth entreated to Boaz. And basically, she laid down at him and said, lay claim to me, make me your wife, cover me with your skirt. Lay claim to me. Give me your last name. That's what God did for us. For everyone who calls and answers to the name Christian, God has given us his name. Not only did God predestine us to live, I'm warranted to bless us. Fourthly, we chose prostitution over our God. Somebody said, even after all that? Pastor, cut us a break here. It's supposed to be Thanksgiving. We want you to preach good stuff. I am preaching good stuff. The Bible says that we chose prostitution over our God. This speaks to an unfaithful betrothal. An unfaithful betrothal. This is going to be verses 15 all the way through 59. But for the sake of time, let me just read a couple of these verses. I want to read verse 15. And then I'm going to drop down. I'm going to drop way down. Verse 15, but you trusted in your beauty. There it is. There's something about when we start smelling ourselves and we start seeing ourselves and we think we got it all worked out. We don't need God then. We noticing the attention we're getting. Walk down the mall. Everybody's looking. I look good now. You trusted in your beauty and played the harlot because of your fame. You poured out your harlotries on every passerby who might be willing. I don't know about y'all, but that's devastating language. Drop down to verse 30. How languishing is your heart, declares the Lord God. While you do all these things, the actions of a bold-faced harlot. That's a nicer way of saying whore, basically. When you built your shrine at the beginning of every street, made your high place in every square, maximizing our sinful idolatry, and disdaining money, you are not like a harlot, you adulterous wife who takes strangers instead of her husband. Men give gifts to all harlots, but you give your gifts to all your lovers to bribe them to come to you from every direction for your harlotries. Thus, you are different from those women in your harlotries in that no one pays the harlot as you do, because you give money and no money is given you. Thus you are different. Let me break this down. Let me give you Gabriel's interpretation of this. God says that we turn out to every other little g. Who is like thee, O Lord, amongst the gods, little g? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Not that God. We go to the God with eyes that can't see, ears that can't hear, hands that can't save. And we lay down with these gods. Somebody said, Pastor, I know you ain't telling me that. Somebody rode to church this morning and they got nobody here. Not in this church. But somebody went and got in a God this morning and they rode to church. Better yet, somebody drove past the church in their God this morning. Somebody drove past the church this morning and they went to their God and they got out and started doing this. Y'all know I ain't playing. Y'all know I'm keeping it real. It's an amazing thing. God tells Israel, here's the truth. My faithfulness will never be questioned. I like the way Hosea put it in chapter number 2, verse 19 and 20. I will betroth you to me forever. This is a one-sided thing. God entered into covenant, you know, in the Old Testament, they'll chop up the animal and both parties will pass through. And they say, if I break my covenant with you, may I, whatever happened to that animal, may the same thing happen to me. But this covenant, God passed through, we did not. We didn't pass through. Look at what it says there. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion. We can't say these words. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. Saints of God, the idea of an idolatrous Christian is altogether absurd. The idea of an idolatrous Christian is altogether absurd. I like the way Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. May it never be. Northos, the Lord is saying, take heed and learn from Israel's mistakes. Family, every now and then we ought bow the knee and tell God, Lord, I thank you for being patient. I thank you for being forgiving towards me every time I chose some false God over you. But I told you I had good news. We had no pedigree in our blood, speaks of unheralded beginnings. We were polluted in our own blood, speaks of our unwanted birth. But God predestined us to live, speaks of unwarranted blessings. We chose prostitution over our God, speaks of an unfaithful betrothal. But then, fifth and finally, we were purchased with God's own blood. It's right there in verses 60 through 63. And this hearkens to an unspeakable benevolence. An unspeakable benevolence. Look at verse 60. I want every eye to look at verse 60. Nevertheless, even in spite of all that, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. Then you will remember your ways and be ashamed when you receive your sisters, both your older and your younger. And I will give them to you as daughters, but not because of your covenant. Thus I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. so that you may remember and be ashamed and never open your mouth anymore because of your humiliation. When I have forgiven you for all that you have done, the Lord God declares. God says, North Oaks, here's the truth. Here's the truth, North Oaks. I keep my promises. I can't even say that without smiling. I keep my promises. If God wasn't a promise keeper, there wouldn't be a seat in her field. Can I prove it to you? How many boxes we got done? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you keep your promises. Somebody said, you can read it out of this book, but can you show it to me? Take a look to the left when you walk out in this foyer out here. God keep his promises. I had a personal interview, not an interview, what do you say, a personal meeting with Sue and Joe Wood. I thought I was going in there to hear just another spiel. I walked out of there skipping. I walked out of there on fire for the Lord. Let me keep preaching. Y'all don't want me to preach. God says, I keep my promises. Look at 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Here's the end. Here's the end, North Oaks. The Bible says that when God passed by us, he saw us covered in our own blood. But one day, we're going to all pass by God, and he's going to see us covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you for covering me all those times. Those times where I had to go out of my way to lay down with a little G God. Nobody here ever had to go out of your way. Have you ever been in a position where you said, I feel like doing some dirt, doing something bad. And you hear that voice say, wait a minute, you belong to God. And you get a little scared and you walk in and you see your Bible and you grab your Bible and put it away in the cupboard. So you can feel comfortable doing your sin? What kind of church I got? Y'all are one kind of church, boy. Maybe I'm the only one that's ever done that. And even after all that, when I pass by him, you know, I like the way Dr. Young puts it. He said God took all out, like somewhat of a divine trash man, divine garbage man. He took all our garbage, cast it in the sea. Then he put up a no fishing sign. Said, don't go back there and start fishing up that old. That old stuff is done. I don't remember it. When you stand before me, I'm going to see the righteousness of my son. Well done, thy good and faithful. Lord, thank you for my life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Even the homeless people know that there's situations and circumstances during this vapor does not compare to the glory that awaits all who belong to Jesus Christ. It does not yet appear what we shall be. The Bible says that one day we're going to see him as he is. Lord, we thank you for our lives. We love you and trust you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And here's that time. Just play the music. No singing for me, please. Here's that time. Let me tell you what I didn't tell you while I was standing up there. Let me tell you what I didn't tell you when I was standing up there. I spoke to God when I was standing up there. When I first walked up there, I spoke to God. I didn't tell y'all I did, but I spoke to him in my spirit. I looked out and I saw all these people in our little church. I say, God, thank you. Thank you. I said, God, thank you for growing our church. Here's how he does it. If you're in here and you've never taken the moment to say, Jesus, I want to give you the wheel. I want you to take the wheel of my life. All this trash and baggage that I have, I'm going to bring it and lay it at your feet. And when I get up, I'm going to leave it there. You run my life. I've tried to run my life and I've made a mess. You run my life. Make me your masterpiece. Give me your spirit. Take out my heart of stone. Give me a heart of flesh so I can do the things that are pleasing. If you've never said God before men, before the world, I want to put my flag up. I want you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Gabriel Jr. said, Jesus, come into my heart. Unless we become like kids, we'll never see the kingdom. If you in here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and run my life, Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you were born of a virgin, the greatest condescending act in the history of all time. You left glory because of your love for me. You came down here. You walked these dusty streets. You healed the sick. You raised the dead. You took your perfection to the cross. You hung there as a curse for me. You took my trash there and you paid the price. Because of that, I know I have peace with God. If you're in here and you don't have a church home, I want you to come here and shake my hand. We want to welcome you to the life of this church. And if you just need prayer, the altar has your name on it.